Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2-point conversion, post-NFL draft version of the 2-point conversion, as the NFL draft ended just a little over 24 hours ago. I'm Kyle Senra, joined by Courtney Burrows, or Courtney, a.k.a. Love Tractor 3. But Love Tractor 3 going for two. Woo-hoo! Live. Give us one takeaway from the draft. No, just kidding. Yeah. Share your thoughts, Courtney. How are you doing?
I am doing great. The story is you know, I was in Dublin when the draft was going on, so it was a complete, you know, time warp, but I was able to catch up and actually even woke up at midnight to, you know, see some of it. So that's different than usual, but you know, you got to do it, right?
I guess West Coast time for you. You're usually, you wake up, it's already on. Wow. Glad I woke up so early. I might have missed it.
Yes. But no, it was good. And it was, you know, it kind of played out, you know, we had our going for two, you know, mock draft, and there was a lot that was pretty darn similar. You know, I mean, I was number two and I took Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, just like they did. And, we also took Bo Nix, you know, to the Denver Broncos. And so a lot of it played out just like we had kind of predicted, but no one predicted Penix going to the Falcons. No one.
No, for sure. So, welcome back to the North American continent. And since you're first back, how do you want to start this episode off?
Well, I think, you know, what everyone's talking about, let's talk about Michael Penix for a minute here. I'm sure it's, you know, what everyone's, let's, you know, beat the elephant in the room. My goodness, what are the Falcons thinking, Kyle?
I've been thinking, I don't know what the Falcons have been thinking for 3-4 years now, especially at quarterback. It feels like they could have done a lot of things. I still attest the move would have been draft Justin Fields instead of Kyle Pitts, and then you take Brock Bowers this year. And then by this point, Justin Fields maybe would have developed with a consistent coach, solid weapons, a really good offensive line to work with. And now he'd be ready to just add Brock Bowers into an offense and go from there. But now it's they have two quarterbacks and one wide receiver. Just kidding. They have Austin Mack from Montreal. But yeah,
you know, the reaction from Kirk Cousins was just like we expected it to be. Like, what in the world? You know, I understand they're paying Kirk Cousins a lot of money, and there's always that potential that his, you know, he might re-injure that Achilles, right? And so Penix, but I just don't think that you pay somebody that much money to come down knowing, I mean, Kirk Cousins went to the Falcons knowing that there was no competition there for him, knowing that he was the guy for the next 2 years, and I still think he is the guy. And so what, that's Penix starting, if he does, at 26 or 27, give or take? That, to me, it's a complete head scratcher. I don't get it at all. And I know it's what everybody, you know, is talking about in the fantasy football world right now. And it's great to talk about it because it is absolutely just mind boggling. They could have taken another wide receiver. They could have taken, you know, some help in the defense in the secondary, right? They needed an edge. They needed, you know, they even offensive line guys so that they could protect Kirk Cousins, because I mean, how many times last year did that pocket fail, right? So I just think they could have done so many other things, but you know, I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, and it seems like it's either going to be 1 year of Cousins and then they cut him next year at a dead cap hit that wouldn't be the most in NFL history, because we just are seeing that this year with the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson. So it's not that it's not doable, I do wonder if, it seems like likely looking at the contract, you said it, 2 years. It would seem like that it's only going to be Cousins for 2 years and then Penix for 2 years after. But I guess there is a chance, especially if, let's say, Cousins doesn't deliver the merchandise next year. They have another like 7-9 season or 7-10 season. And they move on from after year one and Penix starts next year. So it's tricky, though. But I guess to talk quarterbacks and bring it to fantasy football, the one takeaway I would have is 5 of the 6 first round quarterbacks probably should be in first round of Superflex leagues. I'm not sure about Penix though for that risk. Do you think you agree there that the other 5, including Bo Nix, in the first round, but not so much Penix?
Agreed, completely. You know, I do think that Bo Nix is going to be one of those that people are going to be gun shy on, but I trust Sean Payton. You know, I mean, I'm not a Broncos fan, but I am a Sean Payton fan. I mean, you know, being a Saints guy and everything. And Bo Nix he still has those pieces that I think that Sean Payton, he has a lot of the similarities that Drew Brees had. And I think that if he can play with Sean Payton's scheme and he can, you know, be that coachable quarterback, I think he'll actually be pretty decent there. That's not going to be a win now scenario though. It's not going to be like Jaden Daniels. The Commanders did a very smart move by getting Jaden Daniels, because that's a win now scenario. You know what I mean? He's ready now. Bo Nix, it's probably going to be rough this first year for sure, but I do think that he was a good fit there. You know, I think the big winner is is the Vikings with JJ McCarthy. I think he's ready to go now.
Yeah. Certainly think he'll be better than Sam Darnold. So and I think importantly, what does Justin Jefferson think of JJ McCarthy? Is he the type of quarterback that Jefferson is now? Okay, I see your plan. You got rid of Cousins, a quarterback I've had lots of success with. Seems like he was very vocally supportive of them bringing Cousins back. Is McCarthy a strong enough prospect that Jefferson's like, okay, I am willing to buy into this plan and sign with this quarterback?
I mean, I think he looked pretty darn good in the national championship, right? I mean, JJ McCarthy looked really good. He was slinging down the field. He was finding the open man. And, you know, he's got a good deep arm ball. And I think that I think they did really well. I think for the first time in a long time, the Vikings actually drafted pretty decently, like a B-plus kind of thing. My husband's a huge Vikings fan, so I'm always watching it. And I feel like in the last couple of years, it's always been like big letdowns in that first and second round. And I think they did good this year.
I apologize to your husband for all the trash I talk about Vikings fans.
It's okay. I talk the trash too.
Oh yeah. Let's go through this, because I've got a kind of a ranking for this, but let's take those 6 first round quarterbacks. How would you rank them for Dynasty?
Well, I think that, ooh. Well, I would go Caleb Williams, obviously, right? Jaden Daniels, and I think I'm going to put JJ above Drake May, just because of the situation, right? The situation is not good in the Patriots land, right? In New England, it is not good, and I think that Drake May is going to struggle. I mean, everything's new there, and at least the Commanders have a good, you know, platform for Jaden Daniels to play on. So, So, yeah, I think it's going to be Kayla Williams, and then I think it'll be Jaden, and then I think it'll be JJ, and then I think that I would probably flip between Nix and May. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
We're almost in step, but, yeah, I do agree with – I've moved McCarthy ahead of Drake May simply because he has Justin Jefferson. And it's not just that it's, he's got the better situation than him. It's – I would argue McCarthy has the best situation of any of these first round quarterbacks, and May has, I would argue, the worst. So
yes.
Now, I don't love the Broncos situation, maybe coaching wise enough. So I think I'm still keeping May ahead of Bo Nix, but I think that is close though. But yeah, May at 4, Nix 5, and then Penix 6 is kind of how.
Well, I mean, you saw round 6 or 7 that the Patriots drafted another quarterback. They drafted the guy out of Tennessee,
Joe Milton.
You know. What's up?
Joe Milton, I think.
The Patriots drafted him.
Yeah, so, and I mean, they've already got Jacoby Brissett, Bailey Zappi, Nathan Rourke. Yeah, they've got a lot of QBs there for some reason. They're not missing, okay? They're taking every shot they can at quarterback. They're going to find their quarterback, damn it.
Yeah, they took him in round 6. So, yeah. And I remember seeing that on the board going, huh. So they're really not sure either.
Well, the one thing I have is I still think I'm going to go Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams. I know it's the shocking pick. I've kind of been holding that. Daniels has arguably the most upside if he can unleash the rushing touchdown aspect, especially.
Yes.
But also could sell a fantasy floor and could give some great seasons. Caleb does seem like a very safe prospect, one of the best quarterback prospects we've seen, but I'm really enticed by Jaden Daniels. You probably don't have to take him 101, but if you really need a quarterback, I'm trying to get up to 102 and just even ignore the wide receivers and say, I'll take Jaden Daniels at 102, believe in him that strongly. So just like the NFL draft, at the very least, I think he should be a top two pick. But yeah, those two for sure, a tier of their own, I think.
I agree with you on that. I don't know if I like it's going to be, it would be tough. It would be, if I'm sitting at the 101, which I don't have it anywhere, and I don't have the 102 anywhere. So if I'm sitting there debating it, I don't know. That's really tough for me. I really like Jaden Daniels. And again, just like you're saying, he has that rushing upside. And he is going into a program that seems a little bit more stable, you know, if we really can say that, because it's the Bears versus the Commanders. It's not like, you know, this, it's not like the Chiefs versus the Bears, right?
If we're looking at the team, Washington has had a better history of developing quarterbacks than Chicago has now. It's, you know, it's each coaching staff each year is different, even if it's the same team. But like some teams just have this aura that sticks with them, that permeates coaching staff. So that's just the one thing, is that, man, the Chicago Bears can never get it right at quarterback. And I feel like, okay, we've got the guy we can't possibly mess up. He's that good of a prospect. Doesn't matter how bad we are, he'll still figure it out. But I don't know, maybe the Bears really do test that. I don't know. I think he's probably good, and the situation seems great. And yeah, I think it's easy for me to say, because yeah, I also don't have any 101s. The only 101 I did have, I was in a league where I had three firsts and decided I'm just going to trade them all away for established vets. So I think the easiest thing to do is, can you just go trade for Jalen Hurts? His receivers are signed long term. Because I've seen that happen in a couple leagues where the 101 has been moved straight up for Jalen Hurts in a super.
Interesting.
You could just, like, it seems like Hurts is at a cheaper price right now than he's been the last couple of years. So if you could just go buy him off this, I mean, Josh Allen with losing Stephon Diggs, you know, is that manager a little scared? Can you add a third to the 101 to go get Josh Allen? Like, I think that's more than anything with the 101. That's what I want to try and do with it, is actually see how high up can I go on the ladder at quarterback to see if I can get an elite quarterback, instead of hoping that Caleb eventually develops.
Yeah, no, I completely, yes, yes. And that's interesting, because I just drafted for a best ball league, you know, for a girls charity that I was doing with some girls. And I actually picked up Hurts at the, oh, there you go. I actually picked up Hurts at the, it was super flex, and I picked him up at the 103, just because I was just like, I see him doing great again this year. And the Eagles actually did, the Eagles did so well last year in the draft, and I really thought that defense was going to be a number one defense. And then, you know, we kind of saw the team, you know, kind of, you know, pewter out there a little bit, but they did great again this year too. I mean, I think they did good. So, you know, I mean, I'm not an Eagles fan, but I still think, and they just signed, it just went through today, right? AJ Brown just got that big extension, or was that yesterday? My days are all off.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, but he got paid. That's all that
matters. He got paid, which is great for me. You know, I love A.J. Brown. He's from Ole Miss, and I watched him play at Ole Miss, yeah. And he's a great player. So I'm excited to, you know, see that, and so I'm excited for me too, because, you know, I got Jalen Hurts in that best ball, so that's nice.
So do all you want to go there next in terms of, like, winners and losers? Like, do you want to talk about, like, teams that you thought were winners because of the draft and losers because the moves? I mean,
sure,
I know,
yeah.
If we're doing that, we've already talked about the Falcons. I would categorize as one of those teams. And it seemed like other people were kind of bashing some of the other picks they're making as, oh, this is kind of a reach, or they didn't really need this position. So it wasn't just the Penix pick. But I'm sure that makes you happy seeing, boy, the biggest loser of the draft is a division rival. So we can pile them more if you'd like.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing, like, for the first time in a long time, the Saints actually did what I thought they would do, but made smart moves, in my opinion. You know, like, I'm always one of those things where I'm watching the Saints. Now, granted, when we got Chris Olave and we moved up for him, I was so stoked about that, but we always seem to make moves that don't make sense to me. And again, armchair, you know, coach over here, you know, me, you know, wanting them to do different things, but I actually really like what they did. I actually had, in the going for two mock draft, I actually had the Saints, and I chose, I'm totally going to butcher his name, but, you know, Tally, I'm going to call him Tally. We'll just call him Tally. But I had Tally, and I like that pick. I like Kool-Aid. And, you know, I went back over and watched some videos of Radler, and I, of course, we know that Jake Haener that we drafted last year wasn't going to amount to anything, but Radler actually has, I'm kind of surprised that he made it to the fifth round so that we could grab him. And I think that he could, You know, is he a franchise quarterback? Is he the future? Probably not, but he could definitely be a holdover, you know, after Carr. So, you know, I went back and watched some, and he looks pretty good. You know, he looks decent. So for the first time in a while, I was impressed by the first three picks for the Saints. I really was.
Yeah. And well, I mean, I don't know if you ranked your winners and losers at all, but I had kind of ranked a top three, and well, you know what? We'll count up instead, because my number one was going to be the Saints. And I wasn't just doing that for my co-host here. But honestly, so my other co-host, one of my other co-hosts, Jesse Hall on the Full Press Packers podcast, we were talking about prospects for the Packers. And we went through the O-line prospects, and sure enough, they went offensive line in the first round. So it's smart we talked about that position. But Jesse thought the best O-line prospect in the draft was Fuanga and not Joe Alt. So to get him as the fourth offensive lineman too is also great value. The fact the Saints didn't have to trade up, but when they felt they needed to trade up, they went and did it and got Kool-Aid McKinstry, who graded out as a first round corner. And suddenly the Saints got two first round players, like other than the teams that naturally had two first rounders. If you look at the Vikings, but as a result of the Vikings having two first rounders, they didn't pick at all on day two. Their next pick was in the fourth round. The Saints were able to do it, still maintain having a third round pick, and not, and I mean, for the Packers, they gave up maybe a sixth and a seventh, I think, to just move up the four spots. So they really didn't give up much in order to go and get their guy. So I thought the Saints navigated the draft as good as anyone did, and considering from their spot, maybe improve their stock the most to potentially win this division this year. So I'll give the Saints the number one winner in the draft.
I hope so. And I really, like I said, I really liked it. And I didn't know much about Radler. And I went back and, like I said, watched a few things, and I was impressed by him. I think that, you know, he will fit in well there. So yeah, I like it. I think they did good. I think they did well, which is a surprise, because there's not many times that I'm like, Saints, come on, you did good. Most of the time I'm like, damn it. But
any other winners or losers for you? So we've talked about like the Falcons as a loser, the Saints as a winner. Again, great for the NFC South balance of power. You've also mentioned the Eagles as a winner. So is there a loser you want to talk about, or another winner?
Well, you know, I had they grabbed those two quarterbacks right off the bat, right? And I think that's going to help them a lot. And it was Toledo's Keenan, I'm going to butcher it again. I'm butchering all these names. And then Cooper DeJean. And
Quinion, I think it's Quinion Mitchell.
I like it. I like it. Good job. Good job, Kyle. And then Cooper DeJean, right? And I had both those cornerbacks going in the first round. And so, you know, for the Eagles to be able to snag both of them, that's, you know, I think that was pretty impressive, right? So, I mean, I think that they did a good job.
And actually, there's another team that we could echo with that added two elite players, in this case at one specific position. I think the Rams were another big winner for me. Jared Verse might have been the best defender in the draft, and they got him 19th. There was rumored they were trying to move up. Maybe this was the player they were trying to move up for. They just were able to sit back and draft him. And then Brandon Fisk, a defensive tackle in the second round, they've added to that defensive line that clearly had a big need, losing Aaron Donald. So it seemed like they were able to not only take the best player available that fit their needs, but they also didn't trade up to do it and use up any capital. It's weird. The Rams, they never have a first round pick. So what were they going to do? They probably didn't expect to just stick and pick and get that good of a player in Jared Verse. So got to give shout out to the Rams. First pick in, I've seen this, it's like their first round pick in like 2000 days or something. And I mean, they acted pretty natural with it and just made the right choice.
Sometimes they do know what they're doing, right?
Is there so three winners there we've mentioned. Is there we've only talked about the Falcons. I'm sure there's another team we'd love to bash. Is there another draft loser? Because I've got one in mind. I've already talked about it throughout the week on the Going for Two Live Network, though.
Well, yeah. I don't understand the Brock Bowers pick to the Raiders.
Oh, okay.
I didn't understand that pick. I don't think that it was, I mean, obviously, Michael Mayer did not show them anything last year that they liked, but especially when you've got Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Now, I understand that, you know, because I didn't really think they were going to take a quarterback there, but I didn't think that they needed the tight end there. That just was not a move that I thought I just feel like you really need to support that your quarterback, considering how they're both weaker links, still playable. able, but both kind of weaker links. So I just think that they needed more help on their O-line, and I just don't think that Brock Bowers was a choice there. And did you see the video of his dad? I understand that it probably was not meant to be shown, but when they called, the Raiders called his pick, his dad was like, you could see the like that letdown of disappointment, you know?
So they wanted a better quarterback.
I don't think that was a good pick by them at all. What do you think about that?
Well, here's the thing. The Raiders have set the bar so low because they're usually the team that's reaching on some dude. This dude had no business being in the first round, and they take him. So at the very least, the Raiders this year, they took a really solid prospect. It might not have been the position of need, but you could argue Brock Bowers was the best prospect on the board at the time. So I'll give the Raiders credit, and they didn't use the first round and just butcher it completely by reaching on someone that you were better off just trading the pick for a random player than taking this random rookie that won't ever turn out. At the very least, they get a guy who should be a solid prospect. The truth is they don't really have a third solid receiving option unless you were to count Michael Mayer. I think Brock Bowers is a better version of Michael Mayer. And in their mind, if he was there, regardless of if we have Mayer or not, if Bowers is the best player on the draft, we should take this to add this to our team. I could see that logic behind it, so I don't pan the Raiders. I know Gerson was happy about it. It wasn't necessarily, again, position of need, but I'm just happy the Raiders didn't just mess it up completely. They didn't pull the Falcons. They're usually the team that we're all, like, frying in the egg pan on Monday morning after the draft to just talk, how do the Raiders mess up? This year it's the Falcons, so I think it was a victory for the Raiders just to avoid being that team.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with the best player available, you know, but I don't know. I think come on, we went right after them and took Tally.
Wrong.
You know?
For sure. Yeah. No, it was, I do wonder again, the teams that took tackle, are they upset that they didn't take Fuanga? But you know what? My biggest loser is a team that went tackle, and it's kind of because I think Joe Alt is a great prospect. Mm-hmm. And I still don't understand the Chargers' move to pass on Malik Nabers, who could argue not only fit their biggest need, but you might argue Malik Nabers is the best or second best prospect in this entire draft, regardless of position. And they could have added Justin Herbert's weapon for the rest of his career. Like his number one guy. Instead, they go and take a tackle that they're probably going to play at right tackle. And I mean, even, you know, your first round rookie playing right tackle as a rookie is fine. And then eventually move him to left tackle when he's ready as a second year. But with Rashawn Slater there, it looks like the long-term plan is to play Joe Alt at right tackle. And it feels like you're just doing that for his rookie contract, because eventually he's going to probably want to get paid like a left tackle. And if you're not the team willing to do that, you're just going to lose him for nothing. So just like the long-term plan behind this doesn't seem so sound. You could have probably reversed it. I mean, they got Ladd McConkey in the second round. I feel like the impact of getting Nabers in the first, and there were still some decent O-line prospects available in the early second. I felt like really messed up that situation entirely, and their team would be better if they went Nabers and then second round O-line as opposed to Joe Alt and McConkey. So I'll call them a loser because they had a real opportunity to set themselves up ahead really good for a while. And I don't know, I just felt like they fumbled the bag.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that because you're totally right. And I guess that just kind of completely slipped my mind because that was the number one massive position of need for them was a wide receiver, right? And I do like the Georgia wide receiver that they picked up. He's going to be really fast there in the slot for Herbert, but he's not a first rounder, and that's what they needed. Yeah, agreed with you on that one.
All right. Any other, is there a last winner you want to talk about?
A last winner. Hold on. Can we mention what were the Cowboys doing?
If there's a last loser, feel free to laugh.
Well, I think I'm always going to dog on the Cowboys because they, you know, it's the Cowboys. But I don't think that they, you know, it's kind of like, again, just like you're saying, in that first round, you always want to get like that best player available, or you don't want to reach, and you want to get that really the one that's going to make you wow, that pop, you know? And I think that I think that they really needed. Now if they would have taken a running back in that first round, there wasn't any first round running backs, right? There wasn't any. But I still think that they could have played it better. And I just don't think that they're, I mean, they took who they took, the Tyler Guyton offensive tackle from Oklahoma, and then they took an edge, and then they took a guard, and it just seems like they could have done, I don't know. None of those guys pop for me, right? None of those guys pop for me.
The Steelers did something similar, going O-line multiple times, but their offensive line really needed it, whereas the mm-hmm. have the foundation. This is, almost does seem like it's very much for the future when you're in maybe a Super Bowl window. Although, does that speak to maybe they really are going to let Dak walk and kind of rebuild through Trey Lance or some other quarterback they take? Because there was rumors they might even draft a quarterback in the draft this year, and they ultimately didn't. But
interesting. I didn't think that way.
Picks, and they're not necessarily thinking about winning it all with Dak right now. So I maybe, or maybe the Cowboys are thinking win now. They just have, you know, to be fair, they've been a team that's always prioritized the offensive line. So I wouldn't say it's shocking, but yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they could have made bigger impacts with those picks.
Yeah, because nothing they did made me go, wow, you know, it was just kind of, it was mediocre. And it's, and I guess it's that thought that the Cowboys are supposed to be so much better than they are every year, especially having, you know, Jones leading the pack there and having all that money and everything. And you just always feel, it just seems like they were not, even, I mean, even in free agency, right? We talked about it on our last show, you know, it just seems like the Cowboys just settled. It seemed very mediocre. Yeah. Free agency draft, very, very mediocre. So I feel like that was a big loss too.
I am starting to think they're trying to, like, free agency wise, they're trying to save money. Like they've probably spent most of the time trying to negotiate with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, and it's not gone as well. And they're realizing we're going to have to spend way too much money on them. And so they're really trying to be stingy on what they're spending elsewhere until they figure out those two contracts.
Yeah. All right, who's another winner you got?
Well, I hate talking good about my least favorite team, but I got to say the Detroit Lions, especially when you're talking about Philly, it really made me think of what the Lions did. Cornerback was also a real huge need for them. Uh-huh. Guess what? Their first two picks, they went with Terrion Arnold out of Alabama and then Ennis Racketshaw out of Missouri. So they've added two corners. I know they've added first-round corners in the past that haven't panned out, but especially looks like Terrion Arnold looks like a great prospect that they can build around. Him. They got Burns last year, so they've gone to the Alabama secondary before and it's worked out, but I want to highlight their fourth-round pick, Giovanni Manu, out of the University of British Columbia. And like, you know, it's not unheard of for Canadian university students to get drafted directly out of the out of Canadian universities. There was an offensive lineman in the third round who went to Illinois, but he transferred to Illinois from, I think, Wilfrid Laurier. So was originally a university student in Canada, transferred to the States and then got drafted. But Manu had such an amazing season at the University of BC last year that he ended up just getting drafted straight out of it. And I think back to Laurent Duvernay-Tardif with the Chiefs, a really good offensive lineman for years, part of their team that won the Super Bowl in 2019. He was taken out of a Canadian university as well, never went to the NCAA. So shout out to Manu.
That's awesome. I like that.
I hope he does well, but his team has no success whatsoever because I hate the Lions.
You know, I'm kind of going back over and looking back over the teams. I like the Colts' first and second pick, too.
They were the first team to take a defensive player. So in their mind, they got the best defensive player in the draft. So I'm sure they're
ready. And I like that. And I like it. And I like Mitchell. Like, those are two. That's a first and second round. That's nice. I like that a lot.
All right. Is there another topic draft-wise you'd like to talk about here, Courtney?
You're much better at topics than I am, Kyle.
Well, I mean, I could just talk about fantasy all day. Like, we've talked about our quarterback rankings. You want to just talk about other positions like that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that, okay, for sure.
Running back, wide receiver, tight end, is there a particular position you'd like to focus on?
Well, let's go wide receiver. Let's talk about that.
And yeah, not to confuse Brian here, but yeah, thanks for joining the chat, Brian. Woo-hoo! And yeah, it's draft weekend, so we figured let's just keep the draft weekend going and do this episode on Sunday. Coincidentally, happened to be better for everyone's schedule, so it worked out. But yeah, here we are, Sunday night talking the draft. But yeah, sorry, so you wanted to go wide receivers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so, is there any shock that Marvin Harrison is wide receiver one after the draft in the class?
Not at all. Not at all. What do you think about Coleman in Buffalo?
I love the landing spot. And, you know, I think it puts him ahead of some of the first rounders. just that, especially because of how early in the second round it was. But that landing spot is good enough, and there are parts of his profile that are great enough too. That I like Coleman more than some other first round receivers.
Do you think that he will be? I mean, so now we've got, because you've got, so you've got double tight ends in Buffalo. You have came over from Curtis Samuel. That's Curtis Samuel there. Do you think he goes immediately into that wide receiver 1-2 slot? Basically,
I think he can. And it's just how quickly he develops in training camp, how much confidence the coaching staff has in him. Maybe Daboll is a complicated enough offense that he won't give him like the full wide receiver 1 snaps off the bat. Right now, it wouldn't shock me, honestly, if Dalton Kincaid leads the same team in targets. They try and make him like a Travis Kelce light, and they turn their offense into looking like how the Chiefs dominate with the tight end. I wonder if that's what they want this offense to look like. That's why they've invested in this. And so I still have to pick any Bills player I want to invest in receiver-wise. It's probably Dalton Kincaid more than the wide receiver.
Well, I think that Curtis Samuel will be a late-round pickup too. That will be nice because, you know, I mean,
he's earned targets throughout his career, and he should continue to do so in Buffalo. Even if he's not the number one wide receiver, it'll be
–
I don't see Coleman, like, doubling him up in targets. Like, if Coleman has more targets than him, it's just by a small margin, and they're both going to be probably top three target getters on the team. Khalil Shakir's there as well, like you mentioned, but I don't know if he figures in as strongly as what Coleman does as a profile. And I think Coleman's also a good red zone weapon for them, and that might be where
– I forgot about Shakir.
You know, maybe by the end of the year, Coleman doesn't have more targets than Samuel or Kincaid, but he ends up with as many touchdowns as them. That's where his usage as well. It seems like that was a strong part of his game, was the red zone efficiency.
So what are we doing with Neighbors?
I think you keep him where you were going to do. I think he's still the wide receiver 2 for me. I think he's still a top 4 rookie draft, or at least should be. I saw a rookie draft start today in one of my leagues. He went 103. So people are still drafting him up there. He's going to get targets with the Giants. He's the number 1 target there. And if I think it's just the quarterback play. What kind of quality quarterback play does he get? But is he also that good of a receiver that it doesn't really matter? He'll still produce. So, top 4 pick still in rookie drafts. If 1 QB, I think he's locked in as the 102 still.
Yeah.
But, Neighbors. I think we'd rather him be on the Chargers. But I think him going to the Giants doesn't necessarily lower where he goes in rookie drafts. It might lower his startup value, like where you rank him in overall wide receivers. That might change a little bit because he's not in the Chargers. But I think rookie drafts, he's still the top 4.
All right. And so what do you think about, obviously Rome's going to be next, right? We're thinking Rome's going to be your wide receiver. No? You're not, huh? Go ahead. Well, I was going to say that I think that he's going to fall through the cracks there because he's already got – we've already got 2 vets there that are going to be a more reliable security blanket for Caleb Williams than Rome will be, right?
It might look a lot like Jaxon Smith-Njigba's season last year.
Oh, yeah. Great, great comparison.
Still drawing targets. I think he still had like 90 targets there last year. So in theory, he had a good season, but everyone kind of hates the season because the catch rate was low and the depth of target was really low. So the yards weren't there even with the targets. So maybe not quite the same usage as JSN. Like maybe Adunze gets better usage downfield, so that even if he does get a lot of targets, he'll actually accumulate better yards than JSN will. But at the same time, that type of rookie coming along slowly. I actually have Xavier Worthy, and I've had Xavier Worthy ahead of Adunze the whole time. And even though the 9th overall versus 28th overall, crowded situations for both teams, I'd rather have the receiver tied to Patrick Mahomes than the receiver tied to a rookie coming in. So I'm pretty strictly on Xavier Worthy. As a result of that, I kind of want to, I'm willing to maybe trade back around the draft. Or again, I mentioned earlier, try and trade out from the draft, because I mentioned that draft that started today. I did have the 107, but I ended up trading it away. I added it to Tyreek Hill to get Puka Nacua. I gave up the 107, Hill, and Zach Ertz to get Puka Nacua, Rico Dowdle, and John Metchie. Just some throwing pieces, but wanted to get younger at receiver. And it could have got younger at receiver at the pick, but I was probably just going to take Xavier Worthy. So I think Rome Odunze ended up going in that spot. So based on what Nacua did last year, though, I'm willing to buy in. I've been trying to buy in on Nacua in various leagues, and this is the first league where I was able to actually get traction on it. So I ended up getting accepted. I know one of my friends who's in the league, we talked about the trade. He seemed to prefer Tyreek Hill in the first initially. I'm sure a lot of people would probably value it that way, but I'm happy to get Nacua.
Nice.
Give me some Puka exposure. So yeah, my top four for sure looks like that. Harrison, Neighbors, Worthy, Adunze. And I think wide receiver five, I would say 5 through 7 is probably another tier of three. And I've been struggling deciding who I want there. And you've already mentioned one of them is Keon Coleman. The other two are both first rounders. Brian Thomas to the Jaguars and then Xavier Leggett to the Panthers. And I've kind of over the last basically 48 hours, I've had differences in my mind of who's the wide receiver five. It's shifting all of a sudden between them. I think at this current moment, I think I've actually put Brian Thomas back up and trusting in the capital he got as the fourth receiver off the board and thinking that it actually is a pretty good situation. I don't know if that he gets the immediate targets, but I don't know that a lot of these guys get as many targets as we expect them to immediately. Still think they have strong profiles and should do pretty well. That could be, to your point earlier, though, where the advantage of Keon Coleman is. And maybe he's the guy that does see targets earlier, even though he is the second rounder. So it's a tricky spot.
I actually think that I would take Keon Coleman over Xavier Leggett just because I don't like Bryce Young.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah, that there was big concerns with that offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were there concerns because there were no receivers and suddenly Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, they've actually now made a competent offense because those receivers exist. But yeah, Bryce Young still has to prove it. So I was in a rookie draft actually that happened before the NFL draft. And at the 201, I took Xavier Leggett.
Oh, nice.
Keon Coleman was on the board. Now, in hindsight, was that the right pick? I don't know. I'm kind of hemming and hawing. I think right now I'm happy with it. Got the first rounder. Would have loved the Bills player. But ultimately, I almost took Troy Franklin and avoided that pitfall because, man, he fell in the draft. So definitely glad I got the first rounder and not the fourth rounder.
Yeah, but I mean, that's hard to do a draft beforehand because you don't know where they're going and you're looking at the players and you're looking at the players available. You're looking at that player as the player. And I would say that Xavier Leggett's better than Keenan Coleman, but it's the landing spot and the quarterback, right? Just like you're saying, Patrick Mahomes, I trust Josh Allen a heck of a lot more than I do Bryce Young.
No, that's for sure. So shout out to Ryan Searfoss again. He kind of convinced me in raising Leggett as the wide receiver five, and that's what put him high enough in my rankings to take him there and not Troy Franklin. So thankfully the draft worked out in my favor in that regard. Because last year in the same rookie draft, I took Josh Downs early second, and suddenly he fell to the third. And you know, a 206 in a rookie draft was a little too early on Josh Downs. It would have gone with other players post-draft. So it's, you know, it wasn't on the winning side of it last year necessarily. Probably better this year. I don't know that Leggett would have gone in the first round. In hindsight, maybe not. Maybe I still took him right at the spot. So at least it didn't lose value, I hope, anyway.
No, I think it was a good one. I think it was still a good one. I mean, you're right. He might be, you know, Bryce Young's only, okay, well, I'm going to say this and it might bite me, but he should get better.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, he's going to have the receivers that will allow him to get better this year.
Yeah.
Having Deontay Johnson, I think, is key because of what Deontay does. Like he gets open quickly. So he's a guy that like will allow Bryce to have good timing, right? Like, okay, snap the ball, 1-2, step back, throw it. And Deontay will kind of be there. That will help Bryce get confidence. And then as the season goes on, he'll get more confidence, kind of throw to everyone else. So I don't think Leggett's going to have a good start to the season. I think he will probably do better at the end of the season. Probably when Adam Thielen starts to tail down like he does at the end of the year, but also because that'll be when Bryce Young is more confident in the offense. I think to start off the season, you probably want Deontay and Thielen in lineups. And then to end the season, you probably want Deontay and Leggett in lineups.
Hmm. Yeah. So give me your top. So after that five or after six, where do you have, say, like Ladd and Ricky Pearson, that Pearsall who went to the 49ers and people like that, like those guys.
Next. Yeah, right after Brian Thomas, Leggett, and Coleman, right next I'd have Ricky Pearsall 8, Ladd McConkey at 9, and then to round out the top 10, I have Adonai Mitchell as the 10th
receiver. Ah, yeah, okay.
Decent capital too. It wasn't technically top 50, but 52nd overall, so you just missed the top 50 distinction, but still, decent spot with the Colts. I'm not convinced, though, that Mitchell's better than Josh Downs. I know he's a second rounder compared to Downs as a third rounder. I feel like Adonai Mitchell is there to replace Alec Pierce. And they're building around Pittman, Downs, and Mitchell. Now, that's their three main guys. So I know the initial takes on Adonai Mitchell was, oh, this is bad for Josh Downs. I'm not as convinced of that. I think it's awful for Alec Pierce. He basically evaporates into nothing.
Yes, and I have him.
He was doing that last year anyway on his own. So he doesn't need Adonai Mitchell's health.
And I kind of have, I had him in a couple, dynasties on those, like, you know, last pick kind of things. And that's definitely going to be one that I'm going to be like, and you can go bye-bye now.
I feel like I've done that. I feel like I've cut Alec Pierce shares even before this draft. I had already kind of done. I think I might have him on one team left. But at one point, I think he was my most rostered rookie the year of his rookie draft. It was like him and Rashad White. If I had any second round picks, if it was an early second round, it was Rashad White. If it was a late second round, it was Pierce. That's what ended up happening that year in drafts. So but at least the Rashad White thing worked out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say.
My love for Blake Watson did not work out. But yeah. So was there anyone you thought deserves to be in the top 10 receivers that I didn't name?
No, it's pretty spot on.
It's like pretty chalk when it is, in fact, the first 10 receivers off the board in the NFL draft. So I didn't. Their exact order doesn't necessarily follow the exact order of the NFL draft. But
no, because again, just like you're saying,
he wasn't. Jalen Polk was the 10th receiver off the board, but he's the one that fell because we didn't expect him to the Patriots again.
But I think that Keenan Coleman is definitely more up than I would put. You know, just like we were saying, like Leggett and even the Ricky Pearsall and all that. You know, so just because it's landing spot.
Yeah, I think you can argue Keon Coleman even as high as wide receiver 5. I can
buy that. Yeah.
That argument. All right. So I guess it is. You know, we've been on for 41 minutes. It is past 8:45. I guess we didn't start quite at 8. So do we run through tight end and running back real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tight end, I think it's really easy. I'm only going to go 4 deep because I think there's only 4 that matter. Brock Bowers at 1, Vader's first round pick. Ben Sinnott to the Commanders is the second tight end off the board, second round pick. I think it ends up being a good spot for Jaden Daniels as well. You end up getting that young quarterback that's established. I have Theo Johnson, the Canadian, at 3. He went to the Giants, and then Jacadian Sanders to the Panthers at 4. Both of those could – I think all 4 of those guys have chances to start right away. Sanders had the worst athletic score out of them. He's still pretty good, but not like very impressive relative athletic scores for Theo Johnson and Ben Sinnott. And with Sinnott getting the second round capital, the other two getting 4th, that was enough to rank him out that way. Bowers 1, Ben Sinnott 2, Theo Johnson 3, Jatavion Sanders 4. The rest don't matter, I think.
The rest don't matter, exactly. You know, and I don't even know if I would – it's probably – I probably wouldn't even be looking at – I mean, Bowers – I could see Bowers going off at, you know, somewhere in the first if – somebody was desperate for a tight end, especially if it's tight end premium.
He'll go in the first in most drafts.
But I don't
just
know
because if everyone else is so bad. Like last year, there was Kincaid, but there was also a lot of other good tight ends. So teams wouldn't all force Kincaid into the first. But I'm pretty sure Kincaid went in the first round of most drafts anywhere last year. This year, because it's a big gap between Bowers and everyone else, I think he's almost certainly going to the tight end people. Even if they don't need the position, they'll see it's so scarce that I'll grab him because someone else will need him and I'll be able to trade him for a haul. So I think you could make an argument for Bowers as early as like the 106, 107. If you're in a super flex league and you feel like you're really set at quarterback and you don't want to take Drake May and you want to just avoid the Patriots, I don't think it's awful to go Bowers, and I'll go target a team that really wants him because they're desperate at tight end and they didn't get a chance to take him in the rookie
draft. If I'm looking at it at super flex, then I think that at that 106, I would probably prefer one of the wide receivers that we just talked about over Bowers. You know, okay, just because,
that's fair. Just because, I think Adunze tends to be going ahead of Bowers a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You like him.
Just because, again, just like we're saying, I know it's a broken record, but it's landing spot. You know, I know he's going to be great, but, you know, is he going to be like a Laporta or a Kincaid busting out with Aiden O'Connell and, you know, Gardner Minshew? Probably not off the bat.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think if you're desperate for a tight end, trade for the vets. Try and go get a Sam Laporta, right? Like use the Brock Bowers pick that you'd use on Bowers, and quite a few others matter in Brian's opinion. They might. again, tight end premium leagues with enough. If it's, you know, start two tight ends, I think that's where, you know, your list might expand to like 12 tight ends. Chip Raymond to the Cardinals, Tanner McLaughlin and Eric Allwell to the Bengals, AJ Barner to the Seahawks, Kate Stover to the Texans, Jared Riley to the Chiefs. Like, that's 10 deep that, yeah, if you're, you know, desperate enough and in, because in leagues where it's scarce, I think it's worth it. But
yeah, because it's hard.
I won't be drafting a lot of them, though, or any of them.
Right, and it's hard with tight ends because they are so hit or miss. You know what I mean? Not every year you're going to get a Sam Laporta. You know, I mean, look at Kyle Pitts, right? So it is very hit or miss with those tight ends.
Because I'm sure there's
a ton of people out there sitting with Michael Mayer wondering why they, you know. So
yeah, for sure. A lot of people hit a tight end last year, but not if you took Michael Mayer, right? So
right,
chase the athleticism.
And it was the same thing last year. Everybody thought, oh, this is great because they don't really have anybody else. So
yeah, that's true. Brian's a sicko. We love you, though. We're sicko that's very loved, Brian. So at running back, I've got really a tier of two. And it's the first two running backs taken because not only did they get the best capital, but they got like the best landing spots for a while. There were some really good landing spots late on day three, but for the early-ish running backs taken, like, it seemed like the best two landing spots were Jonathan Brooks to Carolina and Trey Benson to Arizona. So I think that you can argue they're borderline first-round picks in Dynasty Superflex leagues. I think in one QB, I think they're definitely first-round picks. So, yeah, Brooks and Benson, to me, are the two best.
Yeah, I really did not like where Blake Corum went, right? Because, I mean, it's going to be, you know, you already got Williams there. You already got Kyren Williams there. And he had such a great year last year. And I know everybody, I was looking, you know, reading people's comments on Twitter and stuff. And they were like, yeah, but last year Gibbs did it. You know, last year it was that, you know, the dual thing with Monty and Gibbs. And they still had a great year. But I thought that Blake Corum had a really good year last year. And especially at the end there at the national championship, he just showed out. I mean, how many touchdowns did he have in that game? And I hate that landing spot for him.
I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is one thing. I'll say this right now. Blake Corum is not nearly as good a running back as Jahmyr Gibbs is.
No, I was just setting the scenario.
But, you know? but people are saying that. Like, I'm hearing a lot of people think he's the RB1 there and Kyren Williams is dead. But
oh, no. No.
That's
not the season that Kyren Williams had.
Yeah. Like, anything that you thought about him as prospect. And frankly, as prospects, I thought Kyren Williams was a better prospect than Blake Corum anyway. So, yes. I mean, Blake Corum is a great producer, but so is Kyren. I thought Kyren is a better technical runner, better on tape. The one thing is Blake Corum had the better combine performance because that was the thing that made Kyren shoot down the boards. But guess what? Guess who's the one team that doesn't send any representatives to the combine and basically doesn't give a crap about any of that? The Rams. So the one aspect that a team would argue Corum is better at Williams is he's on the one team that doesn't care about that aspect. So I think Corum has a great opportunity to be the main backup, though, because I think everyone else in that depth chart sucks. But Williams is really good, and I don't think Corum can overcome him. And it's going to be – he's on that rookie contract for two more years. The Rams could choose to pay him. You know, they have paid running backs in the past in Todd Gurley, and I don't think Kyren's necessarily going to cost Todd Gurley money. So there's a chance Corum's the workhorse in 2 years, but there's also a chance that Kyren is I don't know. This is it's a little scary for Corum for me. If he got, you know, second round capital and they're really pushing that, maybe you can argue he's like Zach Charbonnet last year. But I still, however, would still have Corum at the RB3 because I don't know that anyone else got great landing spots. I'm hemming and hawing between Corum at 3 and Ray Davis at 3 because I think with the Bills, it's the same thing though. Rookie contract running back, you know, James Cook is there for minimum two more years and there to take especially the third down work. But maybe there's some touchdown upside with Ray Davis getting goal line work. I think there's, you don't love where they go because of the starter, but they're probably immediately the main backup running back, and that's a pretty valuable role. Sure. So, unfortunately, this year's running back class wasn't great, so we shouldn't necessarily be surprised by this, but there was, like, one guy that's, they're starting this year right away. And even with Jonathan Brooks, he's starting this year right away. As soon as he's healthy, might not be right away, so don't go and just, like, get rid of Chuba Hubbard for nothing either. I think he might still get some run as the starting running back as Brooks recovers, but there really is no guys that became starters this year. There's a lot of guys that are backups that are going to be starters down the line. I think there's, again, two guys that are locked in to be starters in the next 2 years, and Brooks and Benson. But yeah, I think so. As much as a bad landing spot for Quorum, no one really got a good enough landing spot. So I've actually raised him in my rankings to RB3 now as a result.
Well, and Benson won't start right off the bat because James Conner's still there. And James Conner had a great year last year. And even though he's about to be, what, 29 or 30? I mean, it, you know, he won't start right away. But it is a great landing spot for him.
It looks like Benson, though, starts next year. And that's the thing. Whereas right. I still don't see that with Quorum because Williams will still be next year. And that's why I think, to me, it's okay, Benson and Brooks ahead of everyone else.
And then, I agree with you. I agree with you on it completely, 100%.
I've got Jalen Wright still as the RB4, five, and then Marshawn Lloyd at six. I love the offense Wright went to, but it's the same thing. Okay, rookie's in front of him, only this is even worse because the rookie just got drafted. So there's three more years of Achan. Now, eventually, maybe long-term, it's okay, Achan, Jalen Wright, a 50-50 split. They're both similar running backs, that super speed aspect. And I could see Marshawn Lloyd maybe being like Trey Benson in that he accesses the starting role next year. I mean, the Packers could get rid of Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon will be a free agent next year. Maybe both are gone and Marshawn Lloyd's the lead back. So I've kind of got those six running backs, and then it's a tier, and then like a big tier of kind of the rest of them. But those are the six that really stood out to me. I think the next list of guys are all more worthy of being drafted than, say, the depth tight ends. But I do think it's the top six and then a big gap.
Are there any on that list that you would, I mean, maybe after Quorum, that those would be your taxi stashes?
Sure. I mean, like, I guess it depends on how you're building your team, right? I mean, you could say multiple of them, especially if you're in a position you're just going to take multiple shots at running back and you don't have many rookie wide receivers. And if you do have a rookie wide receiver, you might want them in your starting lineup. So could be all these guys. I guess the way I play, though, I tend to want to use the running backs. If anything, I'd prefer to stash like a Jatavion Sanders or a Theo Johnson. Like, if I'm taking those guys, maybe I want to stash them on the taxi for a year, not have to rely on those rookie tight ends. When you start talking about the wide receivers taken in the third round, you draft them, you stash them. And I guess the quarterbacks, like a Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Spencer Rattler might be the perfect taxi squad player. Just draft him. He'll accumulate value. And maybe he's the starter on the Saints next year. And if he's not, you just waste a taxi squad spot, which that's not going to affect you in the long run. Like, that's what they're there for. They're to take shots in case someone gains extra value.
So. Guess what? Jake Haener's sitting on two of my taxi squads right now. So, bye-bye.
And you know what? Rattler can join him right there. They can be teammates next to each other. I actually like the guy that Jets took out of Florida State. Jordan Travis.
Oh.
And now he's dealing with injuries, so he might even be a redshirt year. So he's also another perfect candidate to taxi squad. As we're going to, I guess, add the taxi squad as the taxi squad to this episode at the very end of it. But, is there anything else?
You're so smart on the dynasty stuff that I just thought it would be a good question to throw out there to you.
Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate that. I love talking dynasties. I love to. Do you have any last questions then before we get out of here?
I don't think I do. I think you and I were pretty much in sync on a lot of that stuff. So, you know, I might be hitting you up though and trying to make some trades to get out of this one at my 106 on one of my leagues. So Superflex League, and we'll see how it goes.
And I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. I mean, if you're stuck and you can't move out, just take the quarterback. And maybe somewhere along the line, someone goes and wants to trade for that Drake May or trade for that J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, it would definitely be. I don't think J.J. would fall that far to six, but I would definitely take, you know, because it's going to be, I mean, what? In most super flexes, you're going to see probably go, I would think, rookies, you're going to see Caleb Williams, depending on need, Jaden Daniels and or Harrison, right? And then you're going from there. So I don't think J.J. would fall to six.
Yeah, no, you're right. And especially if a lot of people are thinking like us that he is the QB3.
Yep.
If you have to take Drake May, and honestly, if let's say JJ goes really early, is there a shot you could move up a spot to get Neighbors at 105? But I mean, yeah. I think the worst case scenario is that you have to take Drake May.
Worst case scenario.
I mean, but it is, right? Like if you have to stick there, that's who you take, then you get a quarterback that was just taken third overall. So you know they're going to get leash and maintain some value.
Well, and even if, you know, looking at the quarterbacks as a whole, when we were, you know, all pre-draft, all that stuff, when you're going over everybody, Drake May has what it's going to take to continue to develop. And he is definitely your not win now. He is your win later. And that could be, especially for Dynasty, right? That's there's always those people build their team differently. And if you are looking at a May, and of course, Rattler's not a first rounder, but you know what I mean? Like, those are people who are going to continue to develop. That's what people, thought about CJ Stroud, right? They were like, maybe he's not right off the bat, and then turned around and showed us that it's Bryce Young that actually needs more developing, right? So I totally hear what you're saying. At that 106, it might be Drake May, and it might be somebody that you're willing to trade away later,
Sometimes it's easier to, rather than move around the draft, just trade out entirely. Like, what's the best player you can go, veteran player you can buy for the 106? That's sometimes how I try to approach it.
I like that. I like it.
Especially if you have a specific position of need that's not quarterback, and you feel like, I could take May, but my team has this bigger need. You just address that need through trade.
Smart call. I like it. I like it a lot.
Again, I've done that a lot this year, so we'll find out if it's a smart move of those teams.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you, Brian, for being in the chat. Anyone else who's watching on the Going for Two Live Network. We'll try and have a couple episodes of the two-point conversion in the month of May. Stay tuned for when those will be exactly. But Courtney's at Love Tracker 3. Oh, for sure. We'll always figure things out here. We'll have a two-point conversion and conversation on when we'll converse here. Courtney's at Love Tractor 3 on X. I'm at Senra Says, same place. And any final words, Courtney, before we get out of here?
No, I'm really proud of you for picking the Saints on such a great draft. So thanks, Kyle. Thanks.
To be honest, you should just be you should be proud of them for picking the good players they did.
Well, I really am. It was very surprising. So yay, Saints.
And yay, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on another episode of the Two Point Conversion. Bye for now.